Do you have a lot of toys? If you come to my neighborhood, you will find that there are not just homes with two-car garages, but there are two-car garages attached to the house, and then there's an extra garage off to the side. In most cases, almost every home in that area has a third garage. And I'm actually at the point, we only have a two-car garage, and I only can put one car in there. The other side is all full of lawn equipment and, you know, stuff that I have no place else to put it. And I'm saying to Judy, you know, at some point in time, we need to save up enough money to set up a shed or something in order to put all that stuff so we can put the other car into the garage. But, you know, my guess is that when we do that, that other shed's going to get filled up with stuff, right? Right? We have a family member who purchased a rather large place. They had won the lottery, and on the grounds were several greenhouses, small ones. And, you know, when we went to visit, every one of those greenhouses was full of stuff. It wasn't for plants or anything. It was just, and you could see everything that was in there, you know, that was just stuff that was piled high, you know. And I'm not criticizing, I'm just saying that it just seems like, you know, we try to minimize our things, but yet at the same time, we look and we say, well, we need more storage area. You know, we need to set aside something. And so what do? Is we put more stuff in it. And what happens is when it's all said and done, what do you do with that stuff when you get to the point that and you never use it anyway? I learned that when I moved. You know, every time I moved, I look at things and I think, you know, why did I save this? When my parents decided to move, my dad had all his sermons. I mean, he was the traditional pastor who wrote them all out. You know, I can remember every Saturday, he, you know, we could not be noisy in the house, and he would sit down in the basement and at his desk and would need absolute quiet, and he'd be down there all day. And every one of those pieces of writing that he did was a work of art and a work of love. But when my dad passed away, we had all these files of sermons. And my mom says to me, she says, do you want dad's sermons? And I'm saying, no, not really. You know, and it's nothing against him. There were a couple that I saved because they were ones that I can remember him preaching. And they were sentimental to me. I wanted to hold on to them. And I have a few of those. But my brother, my sister, and I just looked at each other and said, what are we going to do with these things? Because those are his words. You know, for me to take his sermons and then just to repeat them to you would have very little emotional connection or any kind of bearing that may be upon us in a community. Every congregation is different. It's unique as a thumbprint. So, you know, to use somebody else's sermon, it just doesn't work. You know, you could get by, but my guess is that most people would say, well, what was that all about? So, unfortunately, we threw them all out. But that's, what do you do? You know, what do you do with those things? I had a neighbor in my first parish across the street. His name was Ray. And Ray was an older gentleman. He was in his 80s. He was somewhat of a recluse. But every once in a while, I would see him outside his house. He was very friendly. And, you know, I would say hi to him, and he would talk to me for a few minutes, and then he would just disappear back into his house. And one day, I can't remember what was going on, but we were talking, and he invited me inside. And I wish he hadn't. Because when I walked into his house was literally, every hallway, every room was filled with newspapers. And I'm serious. These were papers that were stacked. They were neat stacks. But I'm sure he probably had them going all the way back into the 30s. Now, there may be some historical value to that, but for most people, it was just kind of, had to walk back through a very narrow way to get to anywhere, and I don't recall, you know, seeing any of his furniture. But I'm sure he had places where he could sit. But I just can't imagine what his family must have done with those papers after he passed away. They had a lot of work to do. My only hope is that when I'm done in my life, that when my kids come clean out the house, that I'm able to winnow through all that stuff and just say, okay, here are things that I don't use. I want to give these away. Here are things that it's just simply garbage. I want to throw this stuff out, recycle whatever responsibly. But I don't want to leave, you know, with somebody to have to go and sort through all my things. It just would be, ugh. Why do that? Our gospel reading for this day talks about Jesus being confronted by somebody who wanted him to act as a rabbi in determining how the family inheritance was to be divided. And that was a common practice because oftentimes it had to do with the law, and rabbis were seen as the ones that had the wisdom, so people would go to them when they had legal disputes over inheritances. And just like today, sometimes those things could get tied up for a long period of time till the rabbi was able to determine what was the best way in which to do things. Oftentimes, if the property that was involved needed to be divided among a lot of individuals, a lot of children, and it would make virtually the property worthless, it would be then turned over to the firstborn male. But that's what a rabbi would do, make those determinations. And so this person, seeing Jesus as a rabbi, asks him those things. But Jesus uses this opportunity to talk about, you know, where are your concerns? And so he gives us this parable of the rather well-to-do man who has barns, tears them down, builds new barns so that he can put more stuff in it. Which there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the fact that we all have our needs and we have things that we hang on to. They're important to us. There are three things you will find in abundance at our home. One is my winemaking materials. Secondly is that the stuff of all the houses and things and the trains that I have that I've yet... I mean, I've been here 4 years. I have not had a chance to put them up, and I don't know when I'm going to be able to do that because I don't have any room. I need to build more barns. And thirdly, Judy's crafts. She makes ornament wreaths that are absolutely gorgeous, but we have thousands and thousands and thousands of glass ornament balls that she has somehow organized in ways. But, you know, you come into our basement, and that's what you're going to find. If something should happen to us, I don't know what people are going to do. Because some of those things are, you know, you could sell them. Or somebody else could take them. My kids aren't interested in trains. So perhaps maybe my nephew, my great-nephew, who is my brother's grandson, he's the one that has the train freak now, so he may end up with them. Or maybe we'll just give them away. I don't know. But you need to think about all the things that you have collected in your home, and what do you do with them? The gentleman whose house that I went into that had all the newspapers, actually the house was so decrepit after they cleaned it out, it was torn down after the man passed away. It was torn down and it became a vacant lot, and actually the people living next to it ended up buying it and they put a swimming pool in there. What do you do with your stuff? And what's more important? The reason why Jesus has an issue with the story that he tells the individuals that are saying, you know, hey, we need you to determine what stuff we can have and what stuff my brother can have is the fact that it's not so much that the man wants to build bigger barns and to do these things. It's the way in which he does it. He talks about himself. He says, you know, he refers to himself as soul. So, you know, now you can sit back and you know, you have everything that you need. It's all about him. It has nothing to do with the priorities in which God teaches us. Do you remember the rich young man who comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, what do the scriptures tell you? And the man responds properly. But Jesus knew that there was something that was tying him or keeping him away from being able to follow him. And so he says to him, give everything that you have. Give it away and come and follow me. And the man, he knew the man couldn't do that, and he couldn't. He walked away very sad. And it wasn't that Jesus was saying, that's what you all need to do, that we all need to live in poverty, and that we all need to not worry about these things. The reality is that we are human, and there are things that are essential that we need. We need shelter, we need clothing, we need things. But what Jesus is saying is when those things begin to interfere in your relationship with God, then that becomes a problem. when we begin to focus on the fact that life is no longer of value to us, only our own, then we have strayed. Jesus would come and say to us, you need to give everything away because your life has been twisted and turned around in a certain way. Your priority needs to be with my Father. And I've always said in my life, hopefully the way in which I reflect it is that as a pastor, it is the priorities go God, family, church. Because if I'm not a good father, I'm not going to be a good pastor. If I'm not a good husband, I'm not going to be a good pastor. Priorities is what Jesus is saying here. And every one of those lessons in which we read today, from the first reading through the psalm to the second reading and to the gospel today, all have to deal with where is our focus? Where is our focus and how is it that we live our life? You know, we've heard an awful lot in regards to racism over the last several months, and we've also heard in the last 24 hours, we see these terrible shootings that are going on, El Paso, Dayton. At what point do we begin to say life is more of value than our gun? And this is not a sermon against owning guns. It's about being responsible and how we deal with each other. Because if I get to the point where I believe what I think is to the degree that I am able to justify taking somebody else's life, my life has been twisted in some serious way that has turned me away from God. What is it that we are called to do as God's children? Not only to love God, but to love our neighbor as ourselves. And whenever we begin to prioritize me as opposed to you, then there's an issue. Can you imagine calling the pastor's office, asking for Pastor Marcy or Pastor Dave, and we're both here, and you have a critical need, or you need to talk to somebody at that moment, and we just say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm too busy, I'm playing with my trains. You wouldn't take too kindly to that, would you? No, and I wouldn't either. You know, when you have a need and you really need somebody to be there for you, you know, you would expect your family member or a good friend or your pastor or priest or somebody would respond to you and say, yes, I'll be there in a moment. But when we become distracted to the degree that we no longer find that those things are important to us in regards to our relationships with each other, then we have a problem. And that's what Jesus is speaking to. When we become so concerned about how it is that we're going to keep our stuff together, that we build more buildings, and that we do all these things, and we spend enormous amounts of money on things that, well, do we really need all this stuff? Probably not. We all have collections. There are things that we like to do. We have hobbies, and that's okay. The problem is if we become obsessed to the point that we forget about our responsibilities to our families or to our neighbors. You know, the other issue that's going on here with what Jesus speaks of about the man building the barns is that he doesn't even recognize that the land that he has isn't his. It's a gift from God. As everything that we have is given to us by God. It's not mine. It's mine to use because ultimately it's only temporary. And we all know this. We all say it. We repeat it over and over again about, oh, we can't take it with us, but boy, we sure act like we want to. You know, can you imagine me showing up with those the folks that helped me unload the rental truck that I had all my wine equipment in and about 40 cases of wine? Could you imagine me going to heaven with my 40 cases and saying, okay, God, I'm ready to come in? Maybe he'd say, okay, we can have a large communion service now. I don't know. It's not going to go anywhere. It'll be there for somebody else to enjoy or maybe just to throw out. I don't know. So this is what Jesus is speaking of today, and the fact that where is our priority? What is the most important thing to you? Is it your stuff? Is it all those things that you collect in your life? that we're at the point that you find yourself so obsessed with it that you no longer really think about your family, your parish, your community. We have become so involved in life, and we've made it so convenient in order to not have personal relationships, because even among family members, what do? We no longer even communicate at the table. You know, everybody's there with their phones, and you know, they're texting or whatever else, and kids are, it's so much more convenient to just to text instead of talking. Well, as you know, when you look at a text, you can see that and read it in so many different ways, and at the same time, if somebody were to speak it, you pretty well could understand it. If I say something to you, and I say it in a certain way, you're going to know that either I'm angry or I'm not, or even if I'm trying not to show that I'm angry, you're going to still hear that undertone. I'm okay! But we become disconnected because of these things that we have that are made to be convenient for us, and at the same time, forgetting what it's doing in our relationship with each other. There's nothing like being able to sit down and to talk with people, to have that one of the most intimate things that we can do is sit at a table and eat with one another. But when our heads are all down looking at our smartphones, or we're busy and being distracted elsewhere, you know, I know after a day of being visiting and in the office, one of the least things that I want to do when I go home is to talk. And there's Judy, who's been home with a cat. And she wants to know how my day is, and she wants me, obviously, to communicate with her, to ask her how her day is, and sometimes I'm just quiet, and she will talk, and she says, are you there? And she's right to ask me that. And I have to, as a responsible husband, not have to, but in a relationship that requires a loving response, I need to be on top of my game. But, you know, we're all imperfect. And she knows that. She'll be the first to tell you. But I also know that it's important for me to be able to be present with her and to be able to have that communication with her, so that this stuff of whatever the parish life is about gets set aside for a few moments, that I'm able to be a husband, a friend, a companion. We all need to do those things. So today, it's not about, I'm not here to tell you, go home, get rid of everything, you know, clean out your closets, whatever else. Though there is some wisdom to doing that. You know, don't leave a lot of stuff for your kids to have to go through when you are no longer able to deal with it yourself. Whether you end up in a nursing home or that you've passed away, you know, hopefully your life is in order. Because I've seen it too many times where families just have so much things to do in order to clean out the homes of their parents or others. And it's not fun. But it's about putting your priorities in the right way. And when it comes to God, it's not just about your relationship with God, but it's your relationship as God asks of you with each other. That's where the priority is. If we are God's people, as we say we are, if we are followers of Jesus, you will find that then we will be people who are focused upon each other. And not just upon those in whom we know, not just within these walls, but beyond. And that our concerns are for the well-being of all humankind. Not just for our own little ethnic group or our own society that you know, are within a certain financial area, but that we look at all people. Did you notice how, you know, the psalm said about listening, all you who are rich and poor? You know, there's no distinction with God. At the end of Colossians, we hear the same thing where he says that there will be neither Greek nor Gentile nor Jew, slave or not slave. You can insert any kind of a description there that we see today, whether, you know, we shall not be either Republican or Democrat, black or white, whatever you would like to put in there. It's the same thing. There is no distinction. And it's time to put aside these childish ideas and understandings that it's about what I want. Almost like, you know, a little child who at times, because they don't get what they want, they scream and yell, you know. And in some cases, they don't know any better. You know, you sit down in a restaurant, and the least thing that you want to be near is a screaming baby. But the baby's hungry. And so you know the baby needs to be fed, and you do those things. You respond. And you also understand. Life isn't perfect, but that's why God has stepped in and given us this opportunity to know that we are loved and forgiven, and that we've been given a Savior who died and rose again, so that we have this wonderful, wonderful gift that no one can take away. That is our priority. And with that, we leave knowing that we are loved and that we shall love. Not because I have to, but because I want to. Not because I want to be distracted by all the stuff that I have to do in the next 24 hours after I leave this place today. But because God directs me to do that. May God push us all in those directions to help us to put a priority when it comes to relationship with our brothers and sisters, whether they are of Christian faith or of a different one. They are God's children. That's our priority. And that's where we need to pray and continue to ask for those who represent us in government to say, we need to take care of each other. That's the priority. May God bless us, and may our focus be upon His kind and gentle and compassionate rule. And may we celebrate that love in the way in which we interact with each other. Amen.